is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we begin. It is the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. I am here at downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, got a great show lined up for you today on this Tuesday. Very nice people that I met yesterday as I was leaving our show here in Las Vegas at Circa. Andrew was in town, big Cowboy fan. Great to catch up with Andrew. And I was talking to these fine gentlemen. And you know what they said to me, Jensen? What is Jensen like in the College World Series? I'm like, oh, I know he likes the under. I know he likes the under in this Arkansas. I mean, and boy, did they have an easy, no-sweat win with your handicap yesterday. What was your big takeaway from the College World Series?
Well, first of all, I know we'll get into it in highlights and headlines, but we have weather finally making an impact there for people that were waiting to see if the completion of the UCLA-LSU game was going to happen last night. They are suspended right now, Dave, in the fourth inning, and they will pick up at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern time. For those that aren't aware, it is still a day one executive order that we will make time zones something of the past.
Right.
But just for the viewing public. So you'll get to see that, Dave, during our show. That will resume.
Awesome.
While we're on the air. So again, remember, this is for the right to go to that 2-0 spot in the bracket. So the 1-0 game will finish a lot of offense. I don't know if the under has any chance or any life left for me in that one, the under 9.5, because there's 7 or 8 runs right now. So we shall see. But again, getting some of that Midwest weather that has finally affected the College World Series.
And I did I see pictures that Paul Skeens, whatever, Livy Dunn, she was also there at Rocco's.
God bless her.
Like, yep. You guys just missed out on Livy and Paul there a couple days late?
Yeah, and again, I do appreciate that they gave us the time and space, did not want to step on our toes. They did the right thing.
Let you guys clear out.
Yeah, you want the main event to have everything that it's billed to be, and we appreciate them continuing on the tailwind right there. So great job by Paul and Livy, two, obviously huge fans of our show, big fans of the network. So great to see them out there in support. Probably got a little wet yesterday,
yep.
But the greatest beneficiary is Rocco's. I have no idea what the uptick in Jell-O shot sales were during the rain delay, but dear God, help everybody to try and get up early today.
If we go back next year, maybe I'll become an LSU fan. Just saying. Let's get to it on this edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Boy, oh boy, that Indiana plus 9.5 looked pretty good. Until it didn't. A late run by OKC, and what a run it was as they take a 3-2 lead, 120-109, covering all numbers here for Oklahoma City. I remember this is a 95-93 game midway through that fourth quarter. You're thinking, wow, not only could this stay under the total, but Indiana might be able to eke out a win. Nope, both those things flipped with that late run, and it was all guard play all the time. How about Jalen Williams, career high, 40 points in the postseason, 24 of those in the second half, including that 10-0 run I'm talking about here in the fourth quarter. SGA, of course, the MVP, looked like it. 31, 10 assists, 4 blocks, 2 steals. You do that math, 71 points from your backcourt. Jensen Lewis, this was your big stars stepping up when you needed them the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Jalen Williams, come on down. Your table is ready. Mm-hmm. And if I were to tell you, Dave, that Jalen Williams would go for 40, I think you would have said, well, there's no chance that my Pacers plus 9.5 plus 10 had any life whatsoever. This is why we play the games.
Yeah.
And that third quarter again, and I give Rick Carlisle a lot of credit. Like, he has really coached his rear end off in a lot of different spots. I did love the enthusiasm and the technical foul early. Did not want the refs to settle in whatsoever. It was like, hey, if we're going to call it, we better call it right.
Yep.
And I want you to know I'm on you from the get-go here. So to see the resilience, yet again, Dave, right? It's been the absolute theme of the Pacer postseason. It has been resilience. They get down by a boatload. They find a way to bring it all the way back. And then unfortunately, I don't think any team's overcoming 22 turnovers on the road. It's one of those situations where, okay, man, you kind of throw your hands up in the air. The fact that it was even remotely possible that this spread was coverable by an Indiana backer, it is hysterical looking how this game ended.
Yeah, and we'll get to, as the show goes here, really dive into it here. But again, if you're Tyrese Halliburton and you have as many field goals as Jensen and I did last night, that's unacceptable. Like, that cannot happen. He gets 4 points from the free throw line, and that's it. Zero. So again, historic stuff that we saw, the 103 points and an assist from SGA and Jalen Williams combined for 103 of the 120 points or assists by those two guys, the most we've seen in the NBA Finals in 50 years. So historic stuff from those two as they take a 3-2 lead. We mentioned it off the top here. What a performance we saw from Gage Wood yesterday. Historic in nature here in the College World Series. Throws a no-hitter against Murray State. Arkansas, their season and their hopes stay alive with that gem. It's just the third no-no in the history of the Men's College World Series and the first since 1960. Jensen, this kid, and you guys, we were talking about it last night and certainly before the show today, pure gas even to the last pitch.
This is the most electric fastball in college baseball. Dave, when you watched how he started, and for those of us that played the game, you can kind of tell when it's special stuff early in an outing. Mm. And, you know, at one point, Gage Wood punching out, I think, 7 or 8 in a row. So imagine almost going 3 straight innings and no one puts the ball in play. It was remarkable. The one pitch that ends up costing him the perfect game is the one that he ends up bringing up with our great friend Danny Wexelman in the post-game interview. And she asks it, she goes, "What did you think? You know, describe your emotions." And he was stone-faced. David Stovey goes, "Shouldn't have hit that guy in the eighth." We're like, "Oh my God, you got to be kidding me, dude. You just punched out 19. Your last pitch was 98, and you're like 120 pitches in. And the first thought to your head is, shouldn't have hit the guy in the eighth. It was hysterical. But here we are. You know, it's elimination game, Dave. Credit to Murray State. Cinderella gave Arkansas everything they could handle, much closer than the 3-0 final score. And I tell you what a great stepping stone for this program. They were really embraced by America. It was David Goliath in the matchup yesterday. Arkansas prevails, and now they await the loser here of this suspended game between LSU and UCLA later today.
Very quickly, when I see 119 pitches for Gage Wood, and I think about the bigs, and like, we got guys with no-nos and perfectos, and we're pulling them in the seventh and pull, you know, early in the seasons. I get it. Like, is this one of those things, Jensen? It's the end of the year, and our season's on the line, so we're going to let Gage pitch as much as he can throw, and we don't pitch count be damned?
Again, and for people, and we talked about this also, Dave, this is basically a regional setup, and when you come through the loser's bracket, you must be able to preserve as much of your pitching resources as possible. And to be fair, I think Murray State would have breathed a sigh of relief if they saw that Dave Van Horn went to his bullpen. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Well, finally, we're not hitting this kid today." So, no, there was no way that kid was coming out of this game the way he was throwing, especially late into the final stanza there. So, credit where it's due. Dave, he had like 89 pitches through 7. So, he was incredibly efficient.
Yep.
And to see the stuff maintained from the first couple innings to that final inning, just remarkable. He'll be a first round pick this year, depending on where teams view him. He was a surefire first rounder. He may have just bumped up his draft stock to, you know, perhaps the upper first round with that performance yesterday.
Really impressive. I'm glad they let him go, and maybe note to managers in the big leagues, let your guys go too. Hey, guess who's back? Joey Chestnut. Yeah, everybody, Americana. I know you couldn't wait for the 4th of July and the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest, but guess what? The king is back. It's a 1-year hiatus, if you remember, from last year. It was caused by a sponsorship conflict. In a statement shared on his social media, Chestnut expressed his excitement saying, quote, "I'm thrilled to be returning to the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. This event means the world to me. It's a cherished tradition." It feels like a stretch. "A celebration of American culture and a huge part of my life." And that is, in fact, fact. Jensen, will you be tuning in now that the nation's nightmare is over and Joey Chestnut will be shoving hot dogs down his throat at a record pace once again on the 4th of July?
you know, and I'll use our golf analogy. Dave, if Tiger Woods is playing in a golf tournament, do you turn it on? 100%. If he's not, I need other motivation to be involved with it. So, of course, I'm going to turn it on. America is the first thing that comes there to mind is. For me. And we will erect the statue there in Brooklyn, you know, for him once he does finally want to hang it up. But a true national treasure in every sense of the word.
Do we want to know the details of the contract situation of why he missed last year? Is this something that is this a matter of national security that we need to know why Joey couldn't go a year ago, but he's back this year, Jensen? Or is some things we just don't need answers to?
You know what? The ink is dry. The agreement is set. And let's see him go back and win the belt that is rightfully his.
Do what you do, Joey. You go out there. You represent America on the 4th of July. You shove those hot dogs down your throat. I still don't know how he does it. It is rather amazing to me. We have a great show lined up for you today, everybody. Thank you for watching and listening. Of course, Matt Humans is going to join us as he does each and every Tuesday. Kate Constable, we've got a big lineup today in the WNBA as well. So she's back with us here to begin hour number 3. And JVT, is this series over when we go back to Indiana? We'll discuss those numbers in the NBA Finals with Jonathan Von Tobel as well. So much more to get to. We will break down in detail what's going to happen potentially in Game 6, what we saw in Game 5, and what we might see with the Panthers and the Oilers. Does the series extend past this evening? All that and then some. Just getting it started. It is a Tuesday edition of VSiN on the Books.
To VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. It is Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Mom just chimed in and said she doesn't know about this hot dog eating contest. So I don't know if Mom's going to be able to watch. We know that that's the big story here. Joey Chestnut's going to be back. And we got some intel during the break from Savannah. Does an amazing job directing our shows. And what I didn't know, Jensen, from Savannah's interaction with Joey Chestnut years ago at an event, he chews on dog toys to get him kind of like in the mentality of, I don't, the flow of food. I'm not exactly sure how that science works there for Joey, but I guess if you are the king of eating hot dogs at a record rate that nobody's ever seen in this world before, Jensen, I guess you got to literally try everything. And if that means you're chewing on dog toys to get you fired up, in the right frame of mind, that if that's how you excel, dare we say to tell Joey Chestnut how to prepare for the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, buddy. I'm just trying to think, like, we read and we watch to get ready for our show.
That's what I do.
We discuss.
Yep.
No toys needed, really, no outside toys. Of a TV and a phone, but
teach their own. We are a judgment-free zone. Judgment-free zone, Joey. Whatever you got to do to get ready. We got a big one tonight. Of course, when you get to the Stanley Cup and you look at what might happen tonight down back up north of the border, rather, with the Panthers and the Oilers. And again, it's win or go home time for Edmonton. And I'm looking at this total, and Jonathan Davis, the great Jonathan Davis here at the network, who's done an amazing job, obviously, through the Stanley Cup Finals. I was texting yesterday, Jensen, and I said, could we finally get an under at 6.5? And we have not had one. And he said, play it at your own risk. I'll summarize our conversation. And I was like, that's enough for me. Like, there's no way I'm going to try to get back in front of this this under train. This is back in Sunrise, rather. And, of course, for this Game 6 tonight, we've talked a lot about it when you go down to Florida, that the ice conditions are not as good. I mean, that is, in fact, fact. I don't think there's any debating that. But, Jensen, really, I guess the bigger issue is how are you going to play the game? If you play the game in the box, certainly for Edmonton, that's why you're giving up all these goals, bad ice be damned. Can you play a disciplined game? When your back's against the wall, it's 3-2, you lose and this series is over. Or do you have to take some unnecessary chances? Like, that's the tough part for me if I'm Edmonton and I'm trying to get to the window on them tonight. How are they going to play? Because if they keep taking penalties, dare I say, this series is over.
So I think once we get confirmation of who's in goal, right, that gives us a little bit more of an indicator of perhaps the psyche of where that Edmonton locker room is. And I agree with JD that I think it would be Skinner. I mean, you go with the horse that got you there. And at this point in series, he hasn't given you any reason to really feel outside of maybe a game that he's not up for the challenge, up for the task. All that being said, you're headed into enemy territory. You know this as well as anyone. You better bring your lunch, your dinner, and an overnight snack. Yeah. The way that the Panthers are playing at Amerant Bank Arena there. Here's what I thought, and again, just kind of looking at the numbers here. So shop around for it, Dave. Yesterday, I gave you my lean at Panthers money line minus $1.48. It's up to $1.55 on DraftKings. It's at $1.43 at Circa. So you got perhaps, you know, some public, you know, some sharp, you know, pro Joe, like it's kind of bouncing around here. Puck line was plus $1.64. It's now plus $1.60 at DraftKings. It's plus $1.68 at Circa. So just overall in the game, and I agree wholeheartedly, I'm staying far away from the total. No reason to try and
buck
and
the trend.
Just mess with that.
Yeah.
I think it's the first period, and I agree with what Rachel Dory said yesterday for people that missed her segment. She said, under 1.5 in the first, because you're going to get, you know, some guys that are tight and not going to try and make any mistakes, and then things probably open up right there in the second period, so take the over 1.5. I love that angle, and I feel like here we are, elimination game. You know, Edmonton not going to take chances because they do not want to get buried here early and have that barn alive and well from minute number one.
Here's what is very interesting to me overnight in the last 24 hours since we had this conversation. Look at your Conn Smythe board today, kids. It has changed dramatically overnight. Now, remember, this time yesterday, Connor McDavid was 9-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Leon Draisaitl was 8-1. I'm looking at the Edmonton side here. Sam Bennett was over a $2 betting favorite. He is not anymore. He has come down to $1.50. Brad Marchand, you could have got him at plus +450 yesterday. He is not anymore. Yesterday's price is not today's price. It's plus +370. But look at Draisaitl and Connor. Connor's come down $1.50 from $9 to $7.50, and they haven't played a game. Draisaitl's come down from 8-7-1. Those moves in the marketplace, Jensen, kind of illuminate what we were getting at yesterday. We felt like Sam Bennett might have been overpriced at over a $2 betting favorite. Again, if Marchand does something like scores the first goal again or ends it in overtime, I think there's a clear pathway for Brad to win the Conn Smythe tonight if they wrap this series up. Conversely, if you think Edmonton continues it, is the value, like to me, my eyes lit up at Connor 9-1. I didn't get there because I know we're looking at it and saying, well, Draisaitl with the game winners. We had this conversation with Rachel yesterday as well. But I went, man, what am I missing in that 9-1? If you liked Edmonton, I would have advised you then to hop on it. Now that these numbers have dropped on Connor and Leon, are they even playable in your eyes?
Well, I mean, they can be. And all of this predicated on if you believe this thing does go the distance,
right?
Then both those guys would be heavily involved. So I guess the question would be to you, Dave, if you had to hitch your wagon to one of them, is it Draisaitl? Again, for people that don't remember, Conn Smythe is the entirety
right
of the NHL postseason. So has McDavid done enough throughout the postseason? And again, he's had his fair share of points, no question about it. But the game winners for Draisaitl in the biggest of moments in OT, I agree with Rachel from yesterday. Those are trump cards if I'm a voter. this is a little bit more, I would hope, Dave, this award a little bit more objective because it is the overall body of work in the postseason. But again, we've seen this before. NFL overall body of work, Lamar Jackson was better than Josh Allen, yet doesn't get the award. So if you had to hitch your wagon, would you want it on Draisaitl or would you want it on McDavid to force this thing to a game seven?
Man, and again, and this is why I've preached so long on this network as to why I don't get involved in these markets, because something tells me that I don't want to say the nerd, the hockey nerd, but really inside the weeds guys and gals that are covering the sport day in, day out, would probably vote Draisaitl. And Rachel made the point yesterday. She thinks he should win it regardless of who wins the Stanley Cup final. Think about that. And she's immersed in it every day, right? So I do think that part of it is going to say, and we gave it to McDavid last year and they didn't win the cup. So not saying that there's fatigue on it, but if there is a debate as to who we should give it to, let's say at least they force a game seven. I don't know that Dreisaitl can win it if they lose tonight. I don't know that that's the case, even though it's for the entirety of the postseason. I would think if Bennett scores and Florida wins, he's going to win the award. And the same thing, by the way, I think if Florida wins the game tonight and Bennett doesn't score and Marchand has another key goal somewhere in this thing, I think Brad is very live at plus 370. But I don't know that we get home on a Dreisaitl and or Connor ticket if they can at least force a game seven back in Edmonton. So that would be part of that handicap for me on the outside looking in. But I think to answer your question specifically, if you made me take one of the two Oilers, I would take Dreisaitl at 7-1. Liked it a lot better at 8-1 last night.
Yep.
But 7-1 today for today's price, I think that's the way I'd have to go.
Any interest in an anytime goal scorer at plus $1.80 for Sam Bennett instead of, you know, the $1.50, you would assume, right?
Yeah.
Even if we're thinking out loud, that if Sam Bennett is going to win it, then he probably scores a goal to solidify that.
Yeah.
And, you know, even more so, do you want to take potentially to score two or more?
Ooh.
You know, would that be something you'd be interested in from, you know, just that narrative? If this is the narrative here and you feel that Bennett is the guy, then he would probably have to score. And, you know, Marchand, whatever, he could have an assist, he could have a goal, and it may not matter, right? Does that make sense?
It does. I think because you're walking on narrative street. You have to try to find those pathways of how do you get those awards, right? And Bennett scoring tonight kind of feels like it would be the capper. Right, that would be the final straw nail in the coffin there. By the way, one other number just to point out, I don't think you can get home. The Bobber has been shorted. He was up to 175-1. He's down to 50-1. That doesn't make any sense to me in the market. Like Jensen, if he pitches a shutout tonight, he still can't get this thing, can he? A 3-0.
Well, it would all depend. It would depend. Is this a 2-0 game?
Right.
And, you know, it's like Barkov scores a goal.
Right.
You know,
it's not Marchand. Right. Those are the pathways, by the way. But 50-1, it's interesting the numbers overnight that have shifted rather dramatically there. You want to bet the ponies? We've got help for you with our friends over at First Bet. You sign up now. They've got to access an exclusive promotions. You can bet on hundreds of horse races every day right from your phone or your computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, sdbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200. Score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Do not miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. When we come back, Matt Youmans joins the program. That is next year. VEASAN by the books.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the books right here on VEASAN.
We are back. VEASAN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Tuesday morning, we always love catching up with Matt Youmans. You know him. You love him. Up and down the network. You can catch him on X at MattHumans247. Joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. And Matt, I loved the United States Open. I loved how hard it was. I loved how difficult these guys, they suffered like I do out there, Matt. Did you love it as much as I did?
I hated it for the most part. And I do like it when the pros have to struggle. I like to struggle, but unfortunately, you know, when you're betting a tournament like this and trying to handicap it, that tournament was totally unpredictable. I don't know how anybody can predict those type of results where almost all of the world's top players, let's just say they sucked. And, you know, and then the guys at the top of the leaderboard were Cinderella type stories, guys who hadn't So several guys who hadn't contended to win a tournament in a long time. Adam Scott had not won a major in a decade, you know, and you've got JJ Spahn with one career PGA Tour win. I think my biggest problem was the course is a little bit tricked up, greens fast. And I wouldn't say it was a well-played tournament. You know, here's the thing. A lot of times if you watch a basketball game and both teams are bricking threes and turning the ball over, but it's close at the end. It's a one-point game in the final minute. People get kind of excited about the finish. And that's, to me, that's the way that golf tournament was. Poorly played pretty much the whole way, but it was really close at the end. There was some drama with about five guys potentially winning it on Sunday afternoon. I thought J.J. Spahn's putt was one of the best finishes I've ever seen to a major. You know, the 64-footer, happy for the former San Diego State walk-on to win that major. That was a really cool Cinderella story, but it was not a well-played major. And for the 4 days, did not enjoy it. You never enjoy a tournament like that when you're losing basically every bet you've got on it too.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go. And the great analogy would be maybe that game 7, remember, for the Lakers and Celtics, Kobe.
Horrible game.
Awful four quarters of basketball with a great ending. So I like your parallels there. Let's talk about what you saw, certainly with OKC and Indiana. And Jensen and I talked about it. The guard play last night from OKC was spectacular. It was historic. With Williams and SGA. And then conversely, Matt, when you look at Nembhard and Tyrese Halliburton, you have to go, what was that? What'd you make of that? And when you look ahead to game 6, is there any reason to back Indiana once they get back home?
Yeah, I do think there's reasons to back the Pacers when they get back home. The one thing I'm concerned about, obviously, is Tyrese Halliburton. I don't understand, you know, if he's got right calf and right ankle issues, yep, where he's really sore and limited. Why did he play 34 minutes last night? I listened to Rick Carlisle's explanation in the post game, and he said, well, TJ McConnell was tired, which is why he didn't go back to him in the fourth quarter. Come on. McConnell played 22 minutes. I know he's busting his ass when he's out there playing, but still, 22 minutes, fourth quarter of the NBA Finals, you can't be tired. And Tyrese Halliburton was doing nothing. He was 0 for 6 from the floor. He had 3 turnovers. He and Nembhard just continued to turn the ball over there in the fourth quarter in that critical part of the game. I can't figure out why Halliburton played 34 minutes on a bad leg. And the Pacers with 22 turnovers again last night. Very disappointed in the way they played. They did shoot 45% from the field. So when they're not turning the ball over, they're getting good looks and shooting it pretty well. I just think, you know, again, you're talking about a big deficit that they cut to 2 and they had a shot to win that game last night. I expect the Pacers to play with a lot more desperation in game 6. And for some reason, I don't know if this is fair or not, I expect Halliburton to come back with a much better game, because that's kind of his, trend is that he has a big game and then he fades the next time, or he ghosts. And then he has a big game and he's a ghost. I would think that Halliburton is going to come back and play much better. Pacers are due for a hot 3-point shooting game, too. They have not really had one since game 2, or actually since game 1 in this series. So Thunder is going to win this tournament. I said before last night that the home team's going to win game 5, home team's going to win game 6, home team's going to win game 7, OKC in 7. So I'm going to stick with that. I think the Pacers gave one away Friday night. Not only did they give the game away Friday night, they gave the series away. They blew it. And I didn't think there's any doubt that OKC was going to win the series after what happened Friday night. But I still think you can go 7. I know this number opened 6 last night. It's down to 5. I took the 5 with the Pacers. And I expect the Pacers to win game 6.
Yeah, I certainly, Matty, lean the money line there too. I think plus $1.64 at DraftKings here this morning. Also, we may crown a champion tonight with the Cup in Sunrise, in Florida here. Any confidence whatsoever that Edmonton can force a game 7 in its own right?
Not much confidence in the Oilers here. I actually have a series bet on Edmonton, and I bet Florida in a couple games here and won a couple bets on the Panthers kind of as a hedge to cover that. So I'm in decent position. I'm going to play the Panthers again tonight. I think they finish it off, second year in a row, winning the Cup. And here's the thing. Panthers have got off to fast starts in this series. They've outscored the Oilers 11-4 in the first periods, 7-0 in the first period of the past 3 games. And Oilers should have been playing with a lot of desperation in game 5 at home. And they fell behind early and got beat 5-2. It's just kind of hard to figure out when this team is going to show up. Well, I think the bottom line here is the Panthers are just better. They got a better goalie and Bob, better defensive team. They could be suffocating defensively. And the Oilers are still trying to figure things out in goal. When you're a coach is not sure who he's going to start in goal in game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, that's not a good sign. I'm going to bet on Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, and the Panthers going back-to-back here. I think it's going to be more frustration for Connor McDavid and the Oilers. And Panthers win it tonight. Minus 142 looks like the best price in the market.
Canada still hasn't won it since 1993, Matt. Looks like we might, we Yanks might keep it from them another year. I want to ask you a little Major League Baseball here. And Jensen told me, and I didn't listen, don't play the Padres to win the division. I played it yesterday. I thought they'd beat Shohei. Shohei wasn't great. They get a run on him in the first, and then the Dodgers come back and win. And now I'm four games back already in that division. Are you looking at any divisions that still might be up for grabs? Are you just looking day in, day out baseball plays?
Day in, day out. I was considering playing the Red Sox when the AL East. I was thinking about it now. Obviously, got to hit the pause button on that. I don't, you know, we could talk for 5-10 minutes about the Rafael Devers trade. Maybe we'll do that later. I know we don't have time for that right now. But the Yankees have lost four in a row, and they scored a total of 4 runs in those games. Just an embarrassing performance over the weekend to get swept by the Red Sox in Boston. They've gone scoreless in the last 20 games. I don't think the Yankees are going to run away with that division. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. And that division can tighten up. I got one game for you today. I'm going to throw this at Jensen and see what he thinks. As a pitcher, I find this game really interesting because Andrew Abbott's been one of my favorite pitchers to bet on. He's starting for the Reds at a cheap price, minus 115 or so today. Reds are 8-3 in Abbott's starts this season. I watched his previous start against the Guardians in Cleveland. He was great in that game. 9 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, but he went 110 pitches. I'm a little bit concerned how much gas is he going to have in the tank today after he goes a complete game in Cleveland. Well, in 11 starts, 62 2/3 innings, he's got a whip under 1, ERA of 1.87, a clear pitching advantage today against David Festa of the Twins. 5 starts, has allowed 4 homers in 22 innings, whip of 1.32, ERA 4.76. Twins have lost 4 in a row. The Reds have actually just come off a trip where they beat the Tigers and outscored the Tigers 19-5 in the last 2 games in Detroit. Jensen, Reds minus 115. Do you buy it or not? Or are you concerned about Abbott not having enough gas in the tank after that 110-pitch performance in Cleveland?
Matty, I think you got a copy of the rundown for today, buddy, because coming up next in the Daily Diamond, I have a headline called Abbott Acing It, and we will certainly be involved in that Twins and Reds game. I do like your angle, though. Cincinnati at home in lower scoring games, so that might be a tease as to where we're going for our game, but I would advocate for the full game under. And you get it at plus money right now. The way it's going. Cincinnati, Dave and I have had this debate a lot. It's like, as soon as you think they're turning the corner offensively, they lay an egg here. So that'd be my only trepidation. But I do think Andrew Abbott, one of the unsung heroes of that rotation, no question about it.
And all I'd say, Matt.
Yeah, he is. What's up?
I just say this to you, Matt. If you want to get involved with the Red Sox, they're 17-1 to win the division. If you think we're going to have a Bucky Dent 1979 type thing where the Yankees came back, like, could we get one of those reversals? They're only 5.5 games back, Matt.
I know. That's why I said that division's tightening up. The Yankees got some flaws. And I would not count the Red Sox out, even though I don't like the Devers deal for the short term. I understand why the Red Sox made it.
Great stuff as always, Matt. I will have to have another conversation about the U.S. Open another time. Check him out on VSiN Primetime. Does a great job here each and every night. We are back. Much more baseball talk. The Daily Diamond is up next.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Always enjoy that conversation with Matt Youmans here in the last segment, breaking down everything in the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. And he asked you some really good questions today. And you know how interested I was when he brought up Andrew Abbott and the Cincinnati Reds. And I do believe that is going to be a big part of today's edition of the Daily Diamond. All right, Jensen, we got some teams that I think need to figure out who they're going to be. And one of those teams might be Arizona. Not swinging it really well. What do they have to do today against the Blue Jays to kind of turn around a dismal start to the season, but certainly an underwhelming one?
Oh, you just got to bring the lumber, eh? And that they'll be able to do north of the border. How about these numbers? Okay, so a lot of totals we will be dealing with on the Daily Diamond. The Toronto Blue Jays, 22-13 to the over as a home team. That is the best mark in the American League. Toronto also 15-10-1 to the over as a favorite. Also the best mark in the junior circuit. How about our old friend Chris Bassett?
Yeah.
Nine or more runs of support in his last three starts overall, and two of those coming at the Rogers Center. Dave, let's not get out of the let's get out of the way of this freight train as far as let's not get hit, but let's see lots of hits. Arizona and Toronto are lean as the full game over nine. You can find that $1.05 at DraftKings this morning. Those numbers were shocking to me. When you think of some of the offensive performances throughout the American League, but Toronto, very good at home so far this year in scoring some runs.
You know, I kind of was dumping a little bit on Arizona there, and then I kind of look up, and they are still a game over 500. They're seven back in the fourth place here in the NL West. The run differential is -5. You don't like to see that in the red for a game, a team under 500. But Toronto, they're five games over, Jensen, and they have a negative run differential of -12. Even though they're five games over, is that troubling for kind of long term? Even though they're keeping their head above water, five games over it, is that something we might need to be concerned with down the road a little bit?
I think they have righted the ship in a big way. And remember, we've had many conversations about the bottom of, you know, their offense. Can it be able to turn things over to the top? And they still have questions to answer there. But overall, you kind of look at where they've been better offensively. They are right around league average, 16th in runs scored, 12th in OPS. They're top 10 in average and on base right now. And the back end of their bullpen has really locked things down. Second best bullpen in strikeouts per nine, third lowest whip. I think 11th in ERA for a bullpen perspective too. So again, when they get leads, it feels like they've been able to get those across the line. Big reason why they're five games over 500. And hey, you talked about the Red Sox potentially winning the American League East. Don't look now, but the Blue Jays are going to get reinforcements in that rotation too. So hey, they're just four games back of the Yankees right now. Stranger things have happened, no question about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys, and certainly with Matt Youmans in the last segment. That division, I don't know if it's going to be Boston, but that division looks like it's going to tighten up a little bit with Toronto and certainly Tampa Bay with the run they're on.
Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing great baseball, just a couple and a half, two and a half back now. Our Cincinnati Reds, back at it today. And you know what? Every time I kind of turn my back on, I do Paul Sorvino, I turn my back on him. They make me look at them again and say, all right, you're back in my good graces. Two games over 500. What do you have today with the Reds?
Yeah, and it kind of Matty Youmans really illuminated our angle today, and that's Andrew Abbott. He has been acing it. And the times that he has been able to take the ball there at Great American Ballpark, save for just one kind of blip on the radar, five of his six home starts, he's allowed one run or no runs. That's pretty good. Cincinnati in and of itself, 14-5-1 to the under as a home favorite. Dave, that's the second best mark in Major League Baseball. They get an opponent in the Minnesota Twins today, 14-8-2 to the under as an away underdog. That the second best mark in the American League. So let's put those together. That gives us an under lean in this game. Under 8.5 at +$1 right now at DraftKings if you want to snag some plus money right there. Again, conditions where they are. We had rain here in Northeast Ohio this morning, Dave, so kind of monitor as we get moving towards that. The only caveat, as I said, with that, you just don't want to have a significant chance that weather could impact any point once this game gets underway, because then you would lose both starters there. So we obviously want, as long as Andrew Abbott can go in this one, to limit the Minnesota Twins offense. So that's my only caveat there. But boy, all the numbers really line up to what could be yet another scoring game there with Andrew Abbott on the mound.
Could I interest us in a little +425 number on the Reds to make the postseason? They're two games over 500. Look at their run differential. It is spectacular, right? So it's one of the better teams in the league at +41 for the Reds. Hunter Green could come back late this month, if not early July. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll wait until the All-Star break, but there, you mentioned reinforcements. Is that something? Can we really look at that and say the offense is heating up? If the pitching can hold in there, and then you have Abbott and Green at the top of that rotation, that's not a bad place to start.
And remember also, you know, Brady Singer has started to turn the corner a little bit too. So, you know, you get that kind of rotation going, pretty much everyone going in the right direction at the same time. That's how you start to pile up series victories. So here's their schedule. You get the three against the Twins start tonight. Then you go to St. Louis real quickly for a three-game roadie. Right now, both the Reds and Cardinals tied 7 games behind the Cubs at 37 and 35. Then they get the Yankees at home. And, you know, that's going to be a test that they're going to face three left. If it all lines up the way it does right now, they would face Yarbrough, Rodon, and Fried. So, nothing easy about that series. But, hey, you know, stranger things have happened, right? You get hot. Sometimes it doesn't matter who the starting pitcher is you're facing.
Yeah, let's hope that the Yankees bats, stay cold if you're a Reds backer like I am there. All right, you've got some interesting nuggets here, and maybe sometimes you just have to wrap your head around it and figure it out.
Sometimes you just got to look at it and read it twice to make it make sense. And that's our headline today. For whatever reason, the Chicago White Sox are just an absolute cash cow.
Whoa.
When they are the home team covering the run. Look at these numbers. And for people listening, Sirius Channel 158, the Chicago White Sox are the best team in Major League Baseball as the home team covering the run line. 21 and 13.
Wow.
Okay. They're getting a run and a half today at home against the Cardinals, minus $1.33. The Kansas City Royals, you're going to see an AL Central theme here by what we're doing. The Kansas City Royals, as the away team, are covering at the second best rate in Major League Baseball, 22 and 12. They're a little bit higher juice today, plus minus $1.89 in Texas. I would also advocate for, if you want to do the plus one, the alternate line at minus $1.37, that's good too. And then the best team in baseball right now, the Detroit Tigers, when they have a day off, Dave, 5-1 to the over. Best mark in the American League. They get the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. The full game over total is 8. Those are our leans today. So, Dave, make it make sense to me. I mean, it's just ironic that when I put these together, I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is all American League Central stuff too, but... I mean, Chicago's been just like blah all year, but you dig a little deeper, and we say it all the time on this show. We love making money on bad teams. You got an opportunity to do it yet again today.
I am my Royals are really letting me down. 4 games under 500. They went through a stretch May into June where they looked like the best team in baseball. Then you bring up Jack Aggs, and I think, oh, man, the lineup's going to really explode. And all of a sudden, they can't hit at all. So a 6-game losing streak right now. You get swept at home by the A's. Make it make sense. So that's a very interesting angle here that you would think this would be a full fade of the Royals, but the numbers say otherwise. So I'm really hoping that today Seth Lugo back in the bump here against Jack Leiter of the Rangers, that maybe the Royals can start to turn that around. And again, that White Sox number makes zero sense to me, but the numbers are the numbers. So there they are. Make it make sense. The White Sox, the Royals, I think the Tigers, we understand them, just how good they are. And by the way, before those lines move each and every day, SharpPlays at SharpPlays.com, they're already there for you. So you don't have to chase the market. They're going to help you move it. You're not going to have to outmuscle the billion-dollar sports books or full-time professional bettors on your own. But with SharpPlays, they got you covered. Powered by cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources, SharpPlays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You're going to get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email and or X. They're not some overnight startup. They've been around the block here. Documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at SharpPlays.com. Jensen, very quickly, am I sitting dead on a Royals over 82.5 ticket here, 4 games under at this juncture?
No, because it's the American League, man. Here's the thing that has staying power. Their rotation's really good.
Yeah.
And they're going to get healthier because Reagans will come back here at some point. If there is any front office that will be aggressive at the deadline, it will probably be Kansas City.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, your division, it's probably done. But, yeah, by no means is that win total, you know, dead whatsoever.
Just, you know what we say, just stay in the fight. Just get in the fight and
stay
in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
That's what we want, Kansas City. It's a long season. Got 162 of these to play. All right, when we come back, hour number 2, break down what we saw last night in the NBA, what we might see tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals.